Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know that God has called the church to love himself, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are the three commands that Jesus gave us when he left. He told us that these commands sum up all of the scriptures. Everybody thinks there's 10 commandments. Well, there's three, because everything in Jesus Christ is summed up in those three. All of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, everything is wrapped up there. And as we do that, we get to see and be the image of Christ once again. And may that be a glory to our souls. And today we're going to do that. I am loving what we're doing here today. For you folks out there on internet land, this is an awesome time. We get to do this every year thanks to Brother Mitch, our fellow Gideon here. And we've got several Gideons in the congregation, Bob and Dennis. And it's just a wonderful thing. We love what the Gideons do because they love God, they love others, and they go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking the word out into the world. But today we have a special speaker, and I'm going to allow Brother Mitch to introduce him. But I need all of you out there to know this is a very special time for us, because when we get the international speaker, we are truly a blessed congregation. And Miss Jane and Brother Larry, you need to know just how much we love you, and we are so grateful you are here. Brother Mitch, bring it on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jane, of 55 years, reside in Tennessee, Kingsport, I believe. And when I go out speaking in churches, people can tell my accent is Lebanon County. Well, if you talk to the Crawfords, you might want to think they might be from the South, amen? They have a son, John. They own and operate Able Printers. They are members of Higher Ground Baptist Church in Kingsport. Larry has joined, and his wife had joined the Gideons in 1993. He was instrumental in acquiring permission to distribute Bibles in the Duffield Regional Jail. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's local to your hometown, I would imagine. He's been to international scripture blitzes to Philippines, Indonesia, Argentina, Africa, Poland, and Nicaragua. And he and I were together in Nicaragua 2015. This is my favorite time of the year. Sean and I get to host these international representatives and their wives for a couple of days. Larry has, again, we've been to Nicaragua together, and share, brother. It's a pleasure. I want to say one more thing. Because of your support, we're here, okay? We thank you for supporting us, and remember that when you see these testimonies, you're part of that, because without your support, we don't have a ministry, and we thank you. Thank Pastor. Amen.
Thank you. Brother Larry.
Thank you. Tenemakashitila, Mimeno Hajanje. That was the greeting I received on the island of Flores in Indonesia from Bishop Edward S. Sangsong. He was saying, thank you. Thank you for keeping your promise of bringing Bibles to my students at my school. For you see, the Gideons on the island had already been there and promised Bishop Sangsong that there would be an international team of Gideons come to that area and bring Bibles to his students. May I suggest to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that we Gideons could not keep that promise if it weren't for support of churches like this. You know, Isaiah 55:11 says that his word will not return void.
Amen.
But it goes on and says it's going to accomplish that which pleases him and prosper whereunto he sends it. So we are just a tool. We are an extended arm of this church, reaching out now into over 200 different countries, territories, and provinces, placing the Word of God now in over 100 different languages. Last year, 54 million scriptures was placed one by one from a hand of a Gideon to some individual with hopefully a witness that they might come to know Christ as their personal Savior. We can only do that work with the support of churches like this. Through your financial contributions, every penny that you give goes to purchase and place a scripture somewhere around the world to be placed into the hand of some man and woman or boy and girl in hopes that they'll come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Again, we're going, Pastor, as you've already said, we're loving and we're going because we want, our only mission in this association is to win the lost to Christ. It's not to build a big name for an association, but it's to do God's work. And we're just an instrument. You may not be able to go to Indonesia, but I promise you we have feet on the ground right there. Right now, as we're standing here, there are Gideons in other countries that's placing that word of God. For if you could take your pulse, every time your pulse beats, there's two different scriptures being placed somewhere around the world. And you make that possible. In these 200 countries, territories, and provinces, and this is why it's so critical that I'm out doing the work that I'm doing this week, is because of those 200 countries, territories, and provinces, 186 of those countries cannot financially buy Bibles to distribute in their countries. That's where we come in. That's where your support and your contributions goes. These countries then are available to where we can go in and give them financial help in providing Bibles for their Gideon members there to be distributed. The cost of a Bible that you see placed in a hotel or motel or in a dentist or a doctor's offices or somewhere like that, that is the cost of that Bible today, $6. And the cost of that little testament that we place in many countries is $1.53. I think that's a pretty good value where you could take and donate 10 Bibles and still spend less than you're going to spend if you stop at McDonald's anymore.
Amen.
And it's going to have a greater purpose and it's going to have a greater effect. So my question to you, who will benefit because you give, or who will be left out because you don't give? This was a scene that I experienced here again on the island of Flores. When we went into the school and the schoolmaster announced that we were there to distribute free Bibles, this was the throng of students that came out so excited to receive a free copy of God's Word. Look at this. Look at the excitement. And, you know, I wish we could see that in America. But we can't even get in this. Many of the schools, we can't go in now. We don't see that excitement. These kids, they would never be able to afford that $1.57, that the $1.53, I think it was. They'd never be able to afford that. In Togo, Africa, I was there. The per capita income of that city, Pastor, was only 50 cents a day.
Woo.
Those people are not living. They are only existing. If they can do something to get enough rice and beans in their hand that day, they can live. If they cannot make enough money by peddling something or begging, they're not going to eat that day. And these kids are so excited. I was in the Philippines in this school placing the Word of God. And as we always do when we place the Word of God, we share with the students in the front of the book that they sign their name, letting people know who this book belongs to. But then we make in the back of the book, we make the presentation for the God's plan of salvation. We call it the GPS. And many of them, we tell them, if you have accepted Christ, if you pray with me and accept Christ, sign your name in the back of the book. And that day, many of the children signed their name. They were sitting at their desk signing their name. And I looked over at Miss Doria. She was the teacher, and she was signing her name. And I walked over to her, and I said, "Ma'am, are you receiving Christ as your Savior?" She said, looked up at me and said, "Well, I can I? And I said, "You sure may." She was so happy herself. Not only there, but in Argentina, I was there. We had gone into a nursing home to place a Bible. And Miss Elsa Pena was sitting at a table. As if any of you have been in nursing homes, most of the time the people are sitting there somewhat dormant. Maybe some of them are napping. But I walked up to this lady and I placed a, she was kind of napping, I might say. And I placed a copy of God's Word in front of her. And she looked up at me and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm giving you a free copy of God's Word." And she picked up that little testament. It's a little bigger than these. And she just pulled it to her bosom. She said, "Oh, I love God's Word." But she said, "There's one problem. Every time I read it, I have to give it back to its original owner." I said, "Ma'am, you've never owned a copy of God's Word?" She said, "No." 86-year-old Miss Elsa Pena that day got her free copy, her own copy of God's Word. 86 years it took for her to have her own copy of God's Word. People, that's not right. And even though we distributed an amount of 54 million scriptures last year, that's just a scratch in the bucket out of an 8 billion population world. We need to be doing more, but you are making a difference. By your contributions to our association, you're making a difference when we go into these countries. That same time in the Philippines, we'd made a distribution to a hospital. And as we went in, I noticed as we walked through the hallway, there was a room there with two armed guards sitting there. We went on by them. And as we were coming out, we made our placement in that hospital. As we were coming out, we passed by that room again. And as we started out of the building, God just impressed on me, "Go back there. Somebody in that room needs a copy of God's Word. If there's two armed guards there, there's something going on." So we go back to the room, and Randy Sabalas is laying there in bed. I don't know what his problem was. I just know that he had a tube running out of his abdomen into a glass jar in the floor. But I began to share with him through my interpreter, and I led him to the plan of salvation, and he prayed to receive Christ. His mother, you can notice there on the left of the screen with the green shirt on, she was so happy. She said, "I prayed for him and prayed for him. And today my prayers have been answered." You made that possible. You provided the finances that we could purchase those scriptures to be distributed there in the Philippines. And that's just one of the many results that we could tell you about as far as salvation. And in all of these countries that I've been in, Pastor, I've always been fascinated with their modes of transportation. Some of it may be a little donkey that you ride side saddle on, but I was fascinated with these little donkey drawn carts. Now, they had the modern transportation too in some of the cities and everything. I've rode the jeepneys in the Philippines, and I've rode the buses in Indonesia with the goats. They'd even tie the goats to the top of the bus for transportation. And we rode in Nicaragua questionable vehicles at that. But I told my interpreter, I said, "Now, if we see a little donkey-drawn cart come by, please ask that individual if I can have my picture made with it." So we came out of the distribution, and coming down the road was Esteban Duarte and his son Ramon. And she stopped him and asked Esteban if I could have my picture made. And he said, "Of course." So that's me standing right there at the rump of Manine the donkey. And so after I had my picture made, quite proudly, I might add, and you can tell, there I was quite proud. I was much bigger then. But after I got through, I shared with Esteban and his son Ramon a testament. And I began to share with them God's love for them and God's hope for their eternal life to be in heaven. And they both prayed to receive Christ as their personal Savior. And it was such a joyous time. And all of a sudden, Esteban began to talk to my interpreter very serious. And she turned to me and said, "Larry, he has a request of you." And I said, "Well, if it's within my power, I'd be more than happy." She said, "Esteban's donkey, Manine, is not feeling well. Would you pray for her too?" So how many of y'all prayed for a donkey? Oh, I have. I laid my hands on the rump of Manine, and I prayed a simple, "God, help this donkey." And I thought the whole time, I thought, this is so strange. And I declare, as Manine left, she did have a better trot about her, too. She really did. I think it worked. But I got to thinking that night in the quietness of my time alone, God just showed me, Larry, this man had just had a real change in heart and life. He was so impressed with his salvation and the Holy Spirit touching him and creating a new creature that he knew if that could happen to him, God could do the same thing for Manine. Manine was his life support. That's how he provided for his family. He was quite concerned for the donkey. So God moves in many ways. And we don't necessarily, the thing that they teach us when we go over there is expect the unexpected. Well, I never expected to be a pastor of a donkey, okay? But it worked. It worked. And here we are in Togo, Africa. I was in a classroom making a distribution, and the word had gotten out that the Gideons were there with free Bibles. And these students could not wait for us to come to their class. They came over wanting Bibles right then. They did not want to be left out. And they were so excited about getting a copy of God's Word. We finally corralled them back in their classrooms, and they got a copy of God's Word. But they were so excited and so inquisitive as to what was going on. This was in Wrocław, Poland, in 2017, I think it was. And we were making distribution at a major university. It was the major university of Poland. And that morning, as I was doing my devotions, I had my little English Testament. And as I got through, I put it on the nightstand, and I showered and got ready to go downstairs to meet the other team members. And that, for some reason, I just picked that little testament up and put it in my pocket. An English testament in Poland. But anyway, we go out. I'm on one corner, my interpreter's on the other, and I'm there asking those students as they came by, would they like to have a free copy of God's Word? Many of them didn't understand, but they stood there listening to my southern Appalachian dialect. They just wanted to hear me talk. But Jose Garcia Rosa came by, and I said, sir, may I give you a free copy of God's Word? He said, is that Polish? And I said, yes, it is. He said, well, I neither speak Polish nor do I understand it. But if you had an English or a Spanish Testament, I would take that. Well, it just so happened that God knew I was going to meet this young man that day. And I presented him with a copy, that little testament I had. And he stood there and opened it up and looked at it. And I said, sir, may I ask you a question? He said, certainly. I said, are you a Christian? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? He said, well, I believe, but I have no denominational affiliation. I said, that's fine. No problem. Let me ask you this. If you were to die today, where would you go? And he said, well, I hope I'd go to heaven. I said, wouldn't you like to know that for sure? 100% sure. And he said, certainly. And I took him to the back of the book, and I shared with him the scriptures there. And 6,000 miles from home, Jose Garcia Rosa received Christ as his personal Savior. He was there from Mexico City lecturing to those students there in Wrocław, Poland. Isn't it amazing how God will draw people to the point, and you provided that scripture for that individual to come to know Christ as his personal Savior? And then here again, and many of you are, you might not know, but some of the Gideons know, your zone trustee, Jerry Clunan, was with me on this blitz. He's from down in Lancaster, isn't he? I think so. And we were one block away from an English university. They were teaching the students English. So we had one case of English Testaments, and we took them down there to distribute to those students. Well, as we distributed all the students, Nalia, this young 16-year-old Muslim girl, she came up, and we didn't have any more Testaments. They were all gone. She was very distraught. She was literally in tears because she did not get, because she knew how important that English Testament would be for her to learn English and to speak it. But we had other ideas. So I told Jerry. Jerry and I had roomed together that night. And I said, Jerry, I think we got another testament in our room. He said, yeah. He ran back one block, ran back down there, and we presented Nadia with a testament, an English testament, and took her to the back of the book and showed her the plan of salvation, and she prayed to receive Christ as her personal Savior. A young Muslim lady, she began to weep tears, and I said, I know those are tears of joy, having come to know Christ as your Savior. She said, yes, but they're tears of sadness too. You see, when I tell my parents I've become a Christian, they're going to disown me. But she said, I feel so good. I feel so wonderful inside. And that's what Christ will do. That Holy Spirit what does the work. It's nothing we do. The Gideons, it's nothing about us. As I say, we're just an extended arm of your church. We're doing the work maybe where you can't. But we're there because it's this word. The Bible says it's sharper and more powerful than a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. It's the word of God that's going to work when we place it. He said it's going to accomplish what pleases him and prosper whereunto he sends it. And when this word goes out, if you come in contact with it, it's going to work in your life. A dear friend of mine in Bogota, Colombia, Peter Chikurian, was making distribution there in a prison. And as he came to this one cell, this prisoner there had about three of the little Spanish testaments stacked beside of his bunk. And Peter said, well, I see you don't need a testament. You've got two or three. He said, oh, no, you don't understand. I do. I need another testament. Peter said, well, you've got two or three. Why do you need another? He said, you don't understand. Those little pages are perfect for me to tear out and smoke my tobacco in them. Now, we're not so naive as to think when we place one of these copies in a jail or a prison somewhere that they're going to cherish it and nourish it. No. I've got one at home that one prisoner got so angry at God that he tried to tear it up. He couldn't tear it up. He threw it. He stomped it. He did everything he could. But he said, I could not destroy that word. I told him, I said, he was wanting me to give him a new one for that one. And I did. It's the word of God that works. But Peter said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you another testament if you'll make me a promise. You'll promise you read it before you smoke it. And he did. And this is a testimony that's coming back to Peter from this prisoner after he got out of prison. He later on became a pastor, I might add, too. But he told Peter after he met up with him, he said, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Luke, but when it came to John, John smoked me. That was his testimony. John smoked him, he said. He became a Christian. It's the power of God. It's nothing about us in distributing the word. But Nalia was so happy. She was such a one, and she even keeps contact with Brother Clunan. Here again on the island of Flores, and this is in the depths of the Indonesian island chain. Very thick jungle, and Flores is one island over from Komodo Island. Have you all ever heard the word Komodo? The dragons? Well, I was quite attentive to my surroundings and environment when I was there because I did not want to encounter a Komodo dragon. We were that close. So we were out in the depths of the jungle going to this school, and we'd gone as far as the little truck would take us, and we had to walk about a quarter of a mile into this school. As we got in close to the school, I could hear the kids. They must have been on recess or something. They were just frolicking, having a wonderful time playing. But as we came on the campus, they began to run and hide and just scream with fear. And I asked my interpreter. I was a little alarmed. I said, Benjamin, what's going on? He said, they're afraid. I said, well, that's obvious. What are they afraid of? I figured he's going to say a cat has come out of the jungle or a snake or a Komodo dragon. He said, they're afraid of you. And I said, of me? Why are they afraid of me? He said, you're the first white man they've ever seen. And I know I was the biggest man they'd ever seen. And they were just in total fear. And I'd catch them. They'd be looking around a tree or around a building, and I'd wave at them, and they'd hide again. But the schoolmaster came out and told them, "It's all right. The big white man is not here to hurt you. He is here to give you a free Bible." A free Bible. It was amazing, the transformation of the action and reaction of those children. They became quite calm. They lined up in a single line and came before me, bowed their little head and their body before me, and cupped their hands as I placed this word of God into their hands. I'm telling you, that was probably one of the most emotional moments I've ever had on a blitz, because those children, they probably not remember anything about that day, who their teacher was, what they wore, what they were taught, what they eat, but they will remember that big white man giving them a copy of God's word. And I knew I was giving them something that was not going to last for a day, something tangible that they could eat or destroy, but I was giving them something that would last them eternally. That's the word of God. And it will work. And thank you again for all that you all have done to support our ministry. And as it was all over with, they just wanted to touch the big white man. And you can see that white shirt I have on there. It had little handprints, little dirty handprints all over it. I mean, up the back, up the front, and everywhere. And my interpreter said, "You're going to have to wash that tonight." I said, "That shirt will never be washed." And I've got it at home. My wife took it and put it in a bag, and we've still got it. What a joy. You made that possible. I've had the experience. We will go. You buy the Bibles. We will pay our way and go and distribute the Word of God. Every penny you give to this ministry goes to the purchase and the placement of that Bible somewhere around the world to be distributed. And it's all because of support of churches like this that the Gideon's International is still vibrant today after 105 years of service in distributing the Word of God. Pastor, thank you so much for your support. Gideon's congregation, thank you so much for your support of our association so that we can, as you say, love, what's the, again? Love God. Love others and go. I know you've got three Gideons in here. Go. Keep going. Thank you, Pastor. Huh?
Thank you, Brother Larry, for being that willing servant that is wanting to go. Because together we make a ministry. Together we accomplish the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Together we are the body. Jesus is the head. And we take him before us everywhere. Whether it's in our everyday, as I've said, be Christ to others, and if you have to, speak. Because the word of God will come forth. And in that, may we give thanks to the Lord our God. Let's pray, dear people. Father God, I thank you for Brother Larry and Sister Jane. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them as they go into their ministry even further. Because, Lord, they're about to make a presentation, and I pray, Lord, that you would empower Brother Larry to speak to the hearts of the rest of the Gideons that he's going to be speaking with. And, Lord, it's not all of them. It's just another portion. And in that, may they all be encouraged. May we be encouraged through the word that was just spoken with us. Lord, you show us that all we have to do is be willing, and you are able. And in that able, may we be found that we are willing, willing to send, willing to agree, willing to pray, willing to support, willing in every aspect that you would call upon us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us as we hear these words of the people that accept you. But Lord, there are going to be many we don't hear of, but in eternity we will get to know. So may we remember that you are God and we are not. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.